sluggy. That's the 168. Unhappy result is a very complicated bill.
We're not until
No.
Not until conference. So I think what's probably most expeditious is we take the bill section by section, and any amendments that people want to offer there, we, with all the amendments I've seen today, I suspect we won't make it through the thing today, but we can give it our best shot. Do we have anyone from the department? And oh, great,
yes.
If you could just join us at the table.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
While
we're in a holding pattern here, I have been trying to work out kind of like my general philosophy about gaming, so if you kind of know where I'm coming from. So I've gone ahead and done just to add to the record just a general.
Yeah.
Just a very general. Well, people are always asking me. I constantly, I get one phone call a month from some new reporter on this issue who's never even had anything to do with it before, and they say, "But what's the deal with this gaming thing?" And so, I mean, so just from a basic philosophical foundation, this is kind of like where I'm coming from on this thing.
Okay, we'll, even after we've gone through section by section, any member can go back to any other item they want to bring up. The first section is section one, is the change on moving to a new location. Well, no, I'm not looking at the amendments yet, just looking at a copy of the bill.
Which is the original?
Which is the original bill. And so the, my hope is that we take it section by section, we can try to take up amendments that cover the same area at the same time.
Is that the one that's got 678D at the top?
Yeah, that's the one. Our committee staff have gone around and tried to talk to as many members as they can and get people's concerns so we know what they are and try to address them. No one has suggested any changes in this section that I'm aware of. This is section one.
No, I didn't hear any comment on
section one. I gave an amendment to the committee staff there.
Oh, okay, it could be.
I'm sorry, it wasn't perfect.
If we just got it, I wouldn't.
That's
right.
Yes.
No,
just
now
came
out.
Another one.
Just fresh tonight. This one.
I don't know if that would fit in
this section
yet or not, Mr. Chairman, without it being in front of me, it's hard for me.
Oh,
it's later on. It's later on. Page 6 on 3. Okay.
Sure. I think you got a few pages.
Okay. But it does relate to the issue.
Representative Choquette, if you could join us. What we're trying to do is go through the bill section by section. We've just been flying along and have got up to section two now.
We right along.
I guess
this one's going to share my name.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to join you if that's all right.
Yeah, Now we've got section two. Representative Truckett, you could remind us of some of the things covered. There are a number of suggestions that have come up on section two. But if you could...
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, just as a basic statement here, I would like to remind this committee that this bill was introduced solely for the purpose of addressing the needs and concerns of the nonprofits as they relate to third-party vendors. I've had the pleasure of looking at a number of amendments today, and some of them I think are going to hurt the bill. Some of them I think are going to help the bill. I've gone on record stating that the amendments should be and have the blessing of the Department of Commerce in order to be considered friendly amendments, and I've not been able to talk with the Department of Commerce on some of the amendments that have come out, so I understand we do have a young lady here that's going to help us with that. But I would like to remain in or to at least state to you that it is my intention that this bill remain in that perspective, and basically hope for the best. Section 2 generally amends existing regulatory authority and allows the DEC to adopt regulations covering vendor sales poll tabs. So what amendments did you want to discuss, Mr. Chairman?
We have a series of amendments from Representative Donnelly and others.
They all are in Section 2?
Some that apply to Secretary Representative Taylor has one. This is basically any amendments that we've got to 060 are what we're looking for now.
I think I've got one, Mr. Chairman.
Great.
In my amendment, there was amendment number 3. And it would require that the regulations adopted be consistent with the standards on poll tabs of the North American Gaming Regulatory Association. And I believe this is one I cleared with partners.
Has everyone found the amendment number 3?
No. My packet.
The packet looks like the third one.
They put the
right
into the administrative code.
Is what they did. Yeah.
When did we get this
issue? I think it's behind you there in the file. Go back a little there. The only ones I know of we've got prepared from the committee are Representative Donnelly and Representative Taylor.
And then we have a couple, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, why don't we?
Amendments.
I think we ought to take up the sponsors first. How about that?
Okay. I'll withdraw my amendment, my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And before us now, we've got amendment number 1, which is House Bill 168.
This one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, line amendment number one, Mr. Chairman.
Uh-huh.
Ready for me to start?
Yep.
Amendment number one on the bill, page 3, line 27. It's the technical amendment that changes the, deletes the word commission and inserts the word commissioner.
Move the amendment.
Okay, is there objection to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted as the technical one.
Amendment number two, page 5, line 19, following the word full tabs. We are adding the sentence, the endorsement fee shall be paid by the vendor by check, and the vendor may not be reimbursed for the fee by the permittee or the operator. And
before
that...
Before we go on to the next one, this is for the $50?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is...
Question before he goes on to the question. Why does it have to be check, through the chair, why does it have to be check? Couldn't it be money order, cash, as long as it receives through it?
Joe?
Well, generally, from working with the department, I was under the understanding, they can correct me, that for accountability, they like having separate, having a check as a record. Now, perhaps a receipt would do just as well, and I would defer to...
I think this just needs to be proof that it was actually paid.
Okay, I would want to amend that. I'm not sure quite the words, but it would have to include more than a check, you know, money orders, other means of legal money.
Representative Dowd?
Ready. I was wondering, it doesn't seem very likely that since these vendors all are have businesses, that they wouldn't have a check, a checking account of some kind. It may be better for the department people to track it because the checks would have their business company names on them, and that way it would give them a better audit trail exactly who paid this fee rather than a money order stub that just was purchased by an individual. I mean, they should all have checking accounts.
I agree with you, but I think that's limiting and imposing a checking account as someone who perhaps doesn't have a checkbook or doesn't wish to pay by check.
But these are vendors, right?
Right.
Come out here.
Commercial.
Right.
Corporate.
So it's an entity that's out there.
Well, they may have bounced a few or something, you know. I'm serious. I think that ought to be about money order. If you want it paper other than currency, that's fine. But I think more needs to be about than just check.
And does the department have a preference on that at all?
No, I don't think.
Along the same line, though, we do require the vendor to pay the permittee by check, again, for the same accounting purposes,
yeah.
So we know where it's coming from.
So we
and
probably would want that for consistency.
For consistency. And for record.
Representative Dowling. You see, I just remember this issue when we went through the 88 Act, and it was a little bit of a controversy at that time, and we ended up with just the word check because we wanted to assist the department as much as possible to be able to identify. And we actually wanted to compel these people to set up an account if they didn't have one with the bank to be able to do that just to give a better audit trail. That's my recollection.
You know, I'll withdraw my objection, but I still, my gut, my stomach objects. I wish I could verbalize them better. Although I write thousands of checks.
Well, with it being such a cash
business
anyway, though, yeah, it to have some kind of an audit trail would be nice. And I know that there are other professions that, you know, like in real estate, you're required to have a checking account. If you don't have one, you can't get the license. It's very important.
Did you want to amend that, Joe?
Yeah, I'd like to amend
the next one's page 6, line 14.
Page 6, line
14
deletes the word a registration and inserts an endorsement renewal. The permittee or operator shall pay an endorsement renewal fee, $50, for each vendor location.
What's the significance of the word change?
The department.
Well, there are two issues. There's the first endorsement received, and then later endorsements annually. So this would address the
renewal
request.
Also. It's
that's $50 would be paid each year.
I just wonder, what's the difference between the word registration and the word endorsement? Well, this is back on page 6, line 14.
Well, the registration is like the initial time you're registering for it, and then
okay.
You get an endorsement, and you're talking about an endorsement renewal would be for the subsequent time.
Okay, and paid, the last part is the same as the first part.
Right, line 6, page 15, following location.
Representative Parnell?
Through the chair to Anne Boudreau, is the endorsement similar to a certificate, perhaps, or a certificate? Is it synonymous?
You know, I'm not, I can't say for a certainty that's my sense that it is.
It sounds like it is. It's the same term that's used. I just don't know the legal nuances of it. Maybe Representative Taylor or Donald.
Attorneys.
Well, the word endorsement in contrast to the word certification or certificate. The word endorsement is being used. For example, on page 5, down at the bottom, line 27, says the endorsement issued under C of this section is an extension of the permittee's or operator's privilege. And then the wording that Representative Choquette is proposing here is to change on the next page, 6, line 14. Change the word registration to be to coincide with the word endorsement. And the chairman's question was, what's the difference between registration and endorsement? And my question is endorsement the same as a certification? So
I think whatever we use,
we get from here to
be
there.
Consistent at least. And you know, normally in the drafters will pick up on things like that and insert the same sentence throughout.
I believe this came from the drafter.
This one did come from.
Mr. Chairman.
I guess my question goes to, if we're endorsing something, then are we legally more liable than if we're certificated? And I don't know the distinction or the...
No.
The back of the room knows.
Actually, my name is Ron Brandt. I work for Senate Labor and Commerce. Endorsement is just a certification authorization for something to happen. So we're endorsing an additional location. We're saying it's all right to perform in an additional location. That's all endorsement.
So your sense then, Mr. Chairman,
is that there's no law,
is
more
there's
liability.
No legal liability above beyond anything we already have.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate it. You know, we may, in subsequent meetings, want to get the bill drafter here as well, just because it's such a complicated bill, we may run into problems. And I think the problem we're going to run into today is we've got to get out here by 6:30 because we're going to lose our quorum. So so much has been accomplished before then.
I'm not here by 6.
Yay.
I got a
job
conference at
6:00. Is there further questions on Amendment Number 2? Has it been moved? Someone want to move Amendment Number 2?
I thought you were just doing all of
them. I'll move Amendment Number 2.
Okay. Is there objection to Amendment Number 2? Okay. Hearing none. That one's adopted.
All right, Mr. Chairman. Amendment Number 3, which basically is cleanup after talking with the department. We've seen that this bill requires 3 separate permits or licenses to be posted at the vendor location. We agreed that this is burdensome and duplicative, and in turn, the bill would only require to post the vendor's endorsement. We would do that on page 5, line 29, following the word location by deleting. We would delete "and a copy of the permit or license have," and just insert the word "has." And on page 5, one line down further than that, line 30, following the word "posted," we would delete "by the permittee or operator in" and insert the word "at."
I move the amendment.
An amendment's been moved. Is there any discussion? Person down.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the department. I mean, apparently the department's agreed to this.
Yes.
Would the permit that's being posted have all the information that the other permits had on them? So
yes, it would have. And actually, by not having copy there, in the past there have been problems with Xerox machines and people selling through charities that the charity didn't even know was selling stuff. So
this is going to require an original permit to be posted, and that'll stop
that's
the
correct
practice of Xeroxing.
Yes.
And where will it be posted?
It's supposed to be posted where the public can see it, and at the site of where they're selling them. And
there's a problem with that now. Most of these things aren't posted out in public scene, and they, when I've asked about it in locations, they say, well, we don't have to post them out there. We've got it in back.
Wait, that's the next sentence. We have just that the endorsement must be clearly visible to the gaming public.
But, and then to keep them from having, like, multiple copies, just the one original is better. And we've actually figured out that it has not going to be any room for us to do that.
Okay, so further discussion on amendment number 3. Is there opposition? Hearing none. It's adopted. Amendment number 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, all of the amendments offered by myself are concurred with by the department. Amendment number 4, as the section now stands, subsection G, the department may only inspect a written contract between the vendor and the permittee or between the vendor and the operator. This change will provide the department with the authority to review the contract for violations of the gaming chapter and the gaming regulations. If the contract violates either of the statutes or the regulations, then the department may refuse to issue the vendor statement.
I move the amendment.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Representative Donnelly?
Yeah, does this limit the contract violates either statute or the regulation? The department may be refused.
Any further questions, comments? Want to comment on this section? Okay.
No, I.
Oh, actually, no, I'm looking past you, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm looking to Mike in the back there.
Yeah, the if it's all right, Matt, Mr. Chairman.
I think we'll make this relatively informal since there's so few people. Go ahead.
Okay. On behalf of the Coalition of Nonprofit Gaming, we have a concern with the language as proposed because of the denoting that the department actually would be entering into an approval relationship between the two parties, which would be the permittee and a vendor, and to insert themselves in an approval position, from at least our perspective, is an intrusion by a government. Now, if they want to withhold current regulations, allow all contracts to be submitted to the department, and they can refrain from issuing a permit today, and if there's an obvious violation of law in that submitted contract, and we don't see any problem to not do that. But if they insert themselves in a position of judging a contract between two parties outside the state, it seems a little unusual and certainly government intrusion, because obviously there can be many other provisions in a contract other than what may or may not be a part of the state's business.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Chairman.
I would like to remind Senator Szymanski that the department is responsible for enforcing these regulations, and therefore would ask that my amendment stay.
Any other comments on the item? Any objection to amendment number 4? Hearing none, it's adopted. Amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5. After consulting with the non-for-profits in the state, the sponsor finds the inclusion of the subsection may work a hardship on the small rural communities. It is highly likely that community leaders in these areas may also be owners or managers of local businesses that are capable and desire to sell full tabs for and desiring to sell full tabs for charities. Since community leaders often wear several hats in the rural areas, the deletion of this section should remove an undue burden. The only one in this committee that I've spoke with on this is Representative Ivan, and he's not here right now. The department has no objections to this change.
Hey, I don't really understand subsection K. Let me see if I can figure out here. These entities, permittee, operator, vendor, may not enter into a contract for the sale of pull tabs for compensation if the permit is municipality and the owner or manager of the vendor is an elected official. I don't know how we're timed.
Oh, it's like if a city assembly person owns the quick stop.
Right.
And then the city comes and puts the pull tabs into the quick stop.
The mayor owns a bar.
And why are we doing this? I mean, to get back to the original bill, why are we doing this over someone who happens to be employed by the state in a managerial position, for instance? Is that prohibited somewhere?
I misunderstood the question.
Because I don't think we've got many people with the state bill.
For prohibiting,
well, because the state's not a permittee. The state can't be a permittee, just a municipality. That's what
you're talking of, only affecting a very limited number of elected officials in the state. I doubt that in any major community of any major size, you're going to find a problem with it, but in your smaller communities, you may very well find it difficult. No, I agree. I think you write this whole thing out.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
except for a municipality, maybe, that might be
a problem. I'm trying to get to what's the purpose of this, so we can understand it. I guess I'm trying to guess here. The purpose is so that if a municipality is, can a municipality's got the permit. Can a municipality have the permit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, municipalities can be permittees.
Is there any examples of that? Does that happen much?
In the smaller communities, yes, it does.
Okay, a municipality is a permittee, and in that case, then they probably the idea is to avoid them going out and using as a sole vendor a municipal employee or a municipal assemblyman, because you'd be look like you were just giving your friends the action. I think that's, I'm just guessing now. Is that the purpose behind what? I mean, it seems like a reasonable purpose. I don't know what the situation in rural areas, but I can't see why we'd have to get rid of that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might address it, the problem is that in many of the communities in our rural areas that use pull tabs to supplement the charity activities within the communities, you've just got one city councilman, or you've got one person that's a mayor and a police chief, and he also owns a general store. The problems that, and God, God, I wish Ivan was here because he could explain it much more.
This is his request.
In depth, I believe it is in depth than I can. But the problems they were having was that this Section K would not permit any elected official or city or municipal employee to do this. And when you've only got 300 or 400 people in the municipality, which is a second class city, or you're not.
I move the amendment.
Mr. Miller, Representative Donnelly?
But you know, it only prevents it for municipal permits.
That's
it wouldn't permit it. It would still allow them to do that for any other permittee other than the municipality.
Yeah, it seems to me to be reasonable. The middle ground on this would be to go and say that it's allowed, but they can't go and give preference. Something like that. So they can't do a sole contract.
Joan just came up with an idea, too. How about limiting it to municipalities of certain populations?
I don't know if we have a basis in fact to try to draw that differentiation here. We have it anecdotally.
I'm only deferring to Representative Ivan, who obviously knows how the particulars work, and I can imagine in a given village, maybe you want to make sure that the new guy that gets elected mayor, he hires a new city manager, and they take over the community's gaming activities that they've had for charitable purposes, raising money for their ball team to fly around or whatever. Maybe that was some concern that somebody had, but Ivan, who lives out there, says, we don't think it's basically a problem, but it could cause us problems with the ongoing permits that municipalities are now running. I can see where we do that.
I'd like to hear from the department.
Does the department have any feelings on this section? I'm not sure it's been discussed with you before. Let's see. Let me.
Not real strong feelings one way or the other.
Okay. Well, it's been moved as before as Representative Duffy.
When there's a seeming conflict or problem, you generally announce it as voted on by the entity, the school board assembly or whatever. Our notice is given.
Yeah, I don't, now that I talk about it more, just to express my view on this, I don't see any great problem with taking it out. This problem is going to exist regardless. There's going to be a variety of entities, including nonprofits, that are going to have permits. Certainly, the tendency towards a conflict of interest with a municipal employer, municipal assembly person is there, and we're going to, since that occurred regardless of this amendment, I think you've got to rely on the local assemblies and the local standards. Representative Donnelly?
I'm still worried about this. I wouldn't mind saying that it's okay for them to do it on a volunteer basis, but you got a case here where you could have the mayor of a town, if they are a strong mayor type of government, who's determining where these things go and puts it in his own bar and makes money off the city permit here. They're making money off these permits. We're allowing them to do this for profit. And if we have the officials who are making the managerial decision of where to place these things, give them the freedom to put it with themselves and make profit off it, I got a problem with that.
Wouldn't that violate other statutes, though, Dave?
Well, it may very well violate. I don't know what other kind of ethical provisions are out there for a local government. But I sure don't have a problem with them doing it as a volunteer activity to raise money for the city. But why should a government official use a government permit to make a profit, personal profit?
I think that's done a lot of some areas.
Well, I don't think it should be.
It might be the only 7-Eleven in the...
Well, then let them go ahead and do it for as a volunteer service to the city. You know, that's no problem.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the purpose, once again, of the bill is to allow an adequate percentage of the money to go back to the charities, the nonprofits, and to also compensate with a certain percentage to the people that sell the pull tabs. What we would be doing under that scenario, Representative, would be taking away or making an exception to the rest of the bill because it's in a smaller area.
I guess my concern would be we may have a tempest in a teapot kind of situation. Maybe something looks like it could have some evil aspects about it, but maybe in reality, if the department could check on it a bit, Mr. Ryan could give us some comments or something, maybe there's not a major problem here, really. The beauty of this system is that though it's taken out here, it can be very easily inserted when it goes through judiciary. And Mr. Donnelly, I know I don't sit on that committee, but I will rely on him to follow up and make sure that's not a problem, you know. My only thought was... accommodate a fellow member of the committee, I would move it, that's why I did, and if he has no problems, that's fine, and it's just a matter really of comedy and discussion at this point to make certain that there really isn't a major, like Mr. Donnelly, I don't want to set up a problem
right
there for somebody either. At this point in time, I move the question to just go ahead and take it out, and if it's a problem, we stick it back in at the next one.
And I think we aren't going to be able to take more testimony for the public. The reason is I told a lot of people that we weren't going to testify. It'd be sort of fair if I kept doing it. It's been moved. Is there objection to the motion?
Well, I'm not going to object to it, I guess, but I do have some real serious concerns about the propriety of that and potential for danger. But I would, if the department could represent to me now that they're going to examine that issue. And also, they should also look at, is there any ethical, municipal ethics issues involved there? I mean, it may already be prohibited by...
Yeah. Yeah. What are those attorneys on the next committee?
We've only got two attorneys.
But I would...
Just me and Max.
Can I say, because you on this one?
No, Robin's not on.
Are we ready to move on?
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing no objection, that amendment was adopted. I think you're out of amendments.
Two more that came in just
Thank you.
Let me know. Mr.
Chairman,
where were they postmarked?
Put them in
the discussion. You can bet on
that. Mr. Chairman, maybe before we take that up, I have a teleconference I have to attend to say this, and I'd like to address the two amendments I've submitted to the committee.
Do you have two more, Representative Choquette?
Yes, they're both technical amendments.
They're both in.
I can hold off.
Yeah, if you could do that.
I can accommodate Representative Taylor.
Okay, we'll hold off on those two. So now we've got Representative Taylor 2. I mean, yeah, they're in the packet. You can describe your amendment, because...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The First Amendment is basically the exclusion of felons from the system, and we had copious amounts of testimony on this issue, both in Anchorage and also here. Basically, what we have done is I mean, as you can tell by looking through it, by removing the preceding five-year period a felony conviction, basically prohibits and excludes from participation as a permittee, licensee. And what we've done is we've now included the word vendor, because that's the new word of art in the bill, or employee or permittee of vendor from participating in these activities. I won't belabor it any further. I think there's been adequate testimony on it. It was unanimous as far as I know. I didn't hear any testimony.
I think it may have been a little bit more mixed than that, but you're right about the predominance. Is there, I'd like to offer some discussion. Is there other committee discussion before I do? Representative Donald?
I guess I'd just say that for the record, we spent a lot of time working on this with the original legislation. We looked at laws from all over the nation. The existing standard that we went with is a tougher standard than most of the charitable gaming laws, I think, that we reviewed at that time, and it may be less than the Nevada gambling laws, but once again, we're dealing with charitable gaming here, and it shouldn't be the massive types of activities that are in Nevada, or the level of activity there, and I think the existing law is pretty focused on the issues that we wanted to protect. And I don't see the connection between some past felony that may be totally unrelated to honesty or the person's ability at, you know, 10 or 20 years later to be a good citizen and to work in this particular activity. So I just don't think it's needed. I think the existing law addresses it pretty well.
Mine's more in the form of a question, though I do agree with Representative Donnelly on that. What's this going to do to the vendors? You know, if you are operating in a vendor, this seems to me this is going to apply. Oh, actually, I guess I didn't read it right. It does specifically apply to an employee of a permittee, licensee, or vendor. So an employee of a vendor couldn't ever been convicted of a felony. That's what we're saying here. So an employee at a 7-Eleven, someone they hired to come in and sell pepperoni rolls, whatever they sell at the front of the 7-Eleven, could. I guess I'm just figuring out the fact that that person couldn't be convicted of a felony. Is that what we're after here?
That's the law today.
That he couldn't be convicted of a...
The only difference is 5 years.
Right.
I mean, it's the law today.
Right.
So, I mean,
the
difference is not whether the kid's at a 7-Eleven or not. The difference is whether it's 5 years or total.
But right now, we don't have a law that specifically applies to vendors. So we're now trying to apply...
Not to a vendor, but the law today does apply to the permittee, licensee, employee. I mean,
right.
If you were talking about employee...
Employee of a permittee.
Example.
Right, and that is another example. An employee of a permittee where a nonprofit that exists that is a nonprofit devoted to rehabilitating felons. You know, for instance, there's rehabilitating criminals. There are plenty of people in the world who've got records. I'm one of them. And those people are out trying to do the best they can in various places. I don't have to be a felon, but the fact that they've got any level of criminal record in the case of a felon, it doesn't seem to fit. They can't sit there and sell pull tabs at a 7-Eleven.
That's the law today.
No, because we don't have vendors in the law, and that vendors. We're talking about employees of 7-Eleven. They were talking about at least hundreds of people in the state who are going to fall into this. There are going to be dozens and dozens of bars and convenience stores, and they're going to have hundreds and hundreds of employees. And how the hell, you know, are we going to say none of them can have ever had a felony? I think even a felony within 5 years is going to be a little tough. but it's going to establish a standard. It's a new standard because we don't have vendors in the law right now. And I think
maybe we should just turn to the department and ask what is actually happening in real life out there right now.
I mean,
we're
telling the people have felonies and things
yourself.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have to run a check on all your employees before you could let them pull full tabs, sell full tabs? Legally under this?
No, but you might be subjecting your permit to revocation if you start employing felons.
Oh, I guess
to
do it.
I would speak against the amendment too. I think 5 years is certainly adequate because when have you paid your dues? At what point in time can you claim that your dues are paid from a past conviction? Plus, it's my understanding, and I'm certainly not an attorney or active in the area, that some felonies are really lesser crimes, at least to some people in society, than misdemeanors. The degree of the felony. I couldn't support your amendment to make it lifelong.
Well, Representative Bruckman, right now, a felony conviction is lifelong. Unless your civil rights have been restored, you don't vote lifelong. You do not possess a handgun lifelong on a felony conviction.
5 years.
The new federal law is coming down to you.
The new federal
law. I mean, basically, I realize this is difficult or maybe harsh in some people's opinions. All I can refer you to is the unanimous testimony. If there was somebody that came up and said that they didn't, it might have been one operator who currently has a problem, but it certainly is not any of the people affected. And the CHAR organization testified very strongly in favor of this. All of the bar owners, all of the other people who testified indicated they liked that. That gave them a hat to hang something on. They didn't want those people involved in it. The department didn't want those people involved in it. And it's part of the system. I mean, you just don't put people like that back into this kind of a situation in a cash money business. You just don't do it. And the people who know the business don't want those people involved in it.
One of the other concerns I have with this, which leads to my unhappiness with it, is that if you've got someone who's in a nonprofit, a director or something, who's ends up fitting this category, you could end up under the later part disqualifying that nonprofit essentially forever, I think.
No, just the person gets out of the nonprofit.
Well, they're off the board.
It shall permanently prohibit the permittee from reapplying for a permit or license. Permanently, that means it doesn't matter if they get off, you're permanently prohibited, you can't reapply again. And I can see why you're after a stiff sentence, but that's a pretty stiff sentence for a nonprofit that may not even have known of the person's record, because certainly nonprofits don't require a record check to get people involved.
Where are you reading? If the department revokes because
If the department revokes the permit, then it shall permanently prohibit that permittee from reapplying for a permit.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, once again, if I might just remind the committee members that this bill is for the nonprofits and the third-party vendors. If this is going to hang up this bill.
No, that's A3, David. You're wrong.
Where's A3?
The part you were reading. The second paragraph down, page 4, line 11, is A3. That's not...
This is
6, not 3. Where's A3 at?
Page 4, line 11.
Too many damn Davids in this room. I'm going to go take a
leak.
Okay.
So you've got someone out there as a permittee, you've got someone who's running it, they go out, they commit a felony, they go and they kill their spouse, anything, they're convicted of it, the permit is revoked, and that nonprofit which didn't know that person was going to go commit the crime, is permanently prohibited from reapplying for the permit. It's
a felony after a permit has been granted. It talks in terms of a permittee, because we aren't talking in terms of, I mean, how would a nonprofit corporation commit the felony? They couldn't. One of their members could. Does that prevent that nonprofit from ever applying again? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, we may well
be logical here. That would make no sense at all.
It's just how I happened to read it. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. But you are right. There are a variety of ways one can analyze the effects on this. Any other discussion on this, Representative Parnell?
Mr. Chairman, it occurred to me that you could insert the word may in that, and you could also include 5-year. And I have to agree with Representative Ruckman on when does somebody finally pay their dues to society. And I don't have a problem leaving in 5 years.
We have 5 years under present law, Representative Parnell, and every bit of the testimony that we've sat through and listened to now for about 5 hours worth said to us, go with that provision.
Mr. Chairman, if you let me finish. And what I said was, if we can let them choose to do that, if they may do that, then they don't have to say government makes us do it. As a business person, we're allowed to preclude you from doing this in our establishment. So we're not doing any social engineering with this community, we're leaving it up to the businessmen to decide whether or not they may hire someone of that nature.
All right, Representative
Dalton. Oh, I see. Representative Parnell, through the chair, is what you're getting at, say that if for some reason other laws prohibit these people from discriminating against felons, that in this particular area of employment, we want to allow them to discriminate if they wish to.
Precisely. And I don't have the language for that, but I would suggest that as an alternative to meet Representative Taylor's objection.
I don't know if other laws would prohibit that or not.
And then that leaves it open for them to do
it. Well, they ask us not to leave it open.
Well, they like to fall back on government all the time. Maybe this is sometime they should step up to the plate. And they should say themselves, hey, I don't want you in my operation, so therefore I'm not going to have you here working for me under these circumstances.
They can't do that if the man's legally entitled to be there under the law. Then the man sues them for then firing.
And Representative Donnelly just indicated maybe we can work on some language that would meet that difficulty, and we can come up with that and certainly have you built.
I'd be happy to work on that over in the judiciary if that's the choice. I'd just as soon get this one out of the way here, so we got a vehicle at least to work on over there.
I do have difficulties with business always pointing the finger at government and saying government makes them do it, and they throw up their hands and then they point at you and me and say, those are the bad guys.
Yeah,
let's let them shoulder the blame for a change instead of coming around to us.
I was just relating the fact that every business that's testifying to us asked us to do it.
Let's get them.
The only one who did was one operator out of Anchorage. We could go back and go through the tapes for you if you want.
Representative Donald.
Now, I guess for the record, I certainly understand a lot of people, and I'm sure the sponsor also really feel that it will be a good step forward, what I would perceive as the issue of cleaning up the industry. But I do know that from working with this industry for a long time, that some of the people out there that want this are doing so to gain economic advantage against other people in the industry. And I'm certainly not saying that's everybody that came and testified that's everybody that wants this, but it's certainly one of the motivations of some of these folks, because we went through this a couple of years ago. I just feel the existing law really addresses the public policy, public interest problems that might be raised by people with these type of records the way it's crafted now.
Okay, Representative Pipey.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just thinking, have we made a motion to accept this amendment? Or would it be in line to make a motion?
Sure, you're off my motion. I may have already been made, but make it again.
I'd like to make the motion, and the sponsor has some additional information. At this point, I'd like to make a motion to whatever amendment number 6, 7?
Taylor number 1, we're calling.
Taylor number 1.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand.
And we'll just suggest it.
Well, it was just a person. feet, if there's, if President Taylor or Padala or any others want to submit later amendments to this committee.
I'll move amendment number 2. We'll get on with the business here. All this does is allow the municipality to require the collection of sales tax. We've got one of these operators in Ketchikan that right now owes 200 or some thousand on sales tax.
Brenda, we're just talking about
Mr. Chairman, I just have one comment on this for Representative Taylor. Is required, or is that, that even though there's no sales tax in the municipality, is that restricting the...
No, it only applies
if it is. Okay. Does the department have any problems with this? The sponsor doesn't either.
Is there other discussion on this, Representative Donovan?
Well, could we just say collect any sales tax? Any sales tax due on charitable gaming activities?
It says under a municipal ordinance. See, which means that if there isn't a municipal ordinance saying there is a sales tax, they don't have to. We want to impose something on them that isn't there.
Maybe someone could help me address my concern here. I'd like to see some way that we could put in something so this doesn't apply while a tax is under a reasonable dispute. There's, you know, two categories of people who aren't paying their taxes or are behind. But you do get into fights over the actual level of the tax where an amount is withheld while that dispute goes on. I can't remember the proper name for it, but there's internal grievances system that's set up within most cities to allow for that process to occur. So you could be technically failing to pay your taxes, but you could still be within the required process of the government and not, you know, being in violation there.
I have a question for maybe Robert. If a municipality has a sales tax, but they don't collect the sales tax on gaming because they've exempted themselves under another municipal law, are you saying that if that municipality has a sales tax in existence, they are also going to have to tax charitable gaming?
No. I don't think that's the intent. I think I think the language is clear.
Couldn't you just say in accordance with municipal law? Because if municipal law has provision for that, and I know Anchorage and other cities must too, then it would encompass their entire code, you know, collection code.
Well, I think it does say that right now. It says in a man.
Yeah, under a municipal ordinance. In other words, I think it addresses it.
Representative Donnelly.
Representative Taylor, just looking at this, and I like this, actually, but I'm thinking, because I'm from a city that doesn't have sales tax, why should it be limited to just sales tax? Maybe it should apply to all municipal taxes. If they haven't paid their municipal taxes, whether they be property tax or some other form of user tax.
Well, the way I'm informed is that the city can accomplish this through the passage of an ordinance also. Many cities have passed specific ordinances regarding specific taxes, but they all haven't necessarily passed an ordinance that would accomplish this. This kind of works it both ways. In other words, if your city hasn't passed an ordinance yet about the denial or acceptance of the permit, if you haven't passed that yet, then this would cover you. If you have passed one, you preempt it and it's covered anyhow, because the department will normally call upon the city to see whether or not the permit should be renewed. And it's at that renewal time that you should get a shot at.
Okay. Is there a...
I'm a little short on this one, Representative Taylor. You're saying that if there's an ordinance that exempts the sales tax on this, we have a problem. But if there's an ordinance that does require sales tax on gaming and they come back to the state for a permit and the state finds out that they're not paying their taxes, they can pull the permit.
That's right.
Okay, so it's got nothing to do with suddenly telling...
It's like ABC board.
Yeah, suddenly it's not sending... If you're not taxing gaming, you are suddenly going to have to request. No.
Okay. Representative Donovan.
What does the ABC board do?
They actually get a hold of the cities and you have to sign off on the application. If you haven't paid your taxes, ABC board writes on recommendation. The city, I should say, protests to the ABC board.
Well, I was just wondering if there might be some language there we could draw from.
It's actually California.
this was the best I could come up with at this time, but I know it's coming over there, so if we can come up with something else.
I don't see any other objections or concerns. Okay, hearing none, then the amendment is adopted. Amendment number 2, we'll call it or we'll call this last one. How many did you have?
I have two more.
How many did you have before? Five?
I'm going to have to take off, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, this is amendment number 7 we just adopted.
I'll just appreciate it since apparently there is some question or concern about the record already established in this committee. If the staff could go back through the testimony and indicate on the felony question plus or minus on every single witness that testified.
How about if we...
Then there won't be any more question about whether or not I know what I'm talking about and what Char said, what every bar owner said, and every businessman asked us to do. I got to go to this other thing. Gang, we will revisit that one on the floor or the bill is dead, I'll guarantee you.
Thank you, Representative Taylor.
Yeah.
Representative Choquette, number 8, although it says 6, we'll now call it 8.
Okay, fine. Representative number 8. I mean, Representative Amendment number 8, which is my amendment number 6. It's the intent of this provision to provide a municipality with the option to prohibit all operators or all vendors from selling pull tabs within the municipality. Leaving the words in the singular may provide municipalities with the option to prohibit one vendor or one operator while allowing others. While working in the singular is a preferred practice in legislative drafting, we suggest the use of plural form in this instance.
Okay, would someone like to move this? It seems rather technical.
Okay.
Representative Donnelly moves it.
No. Although it's probably a step towards where...
Yeah, I'll move it.
Okay, whoever Donald does move it.
Can I speak to it?
And he's speaking to it.
You know what happened when we, in the 88 Act, we put in there that we wanted to give municipalities the ability to control things on the local level. What we didn't anticipate is that in an example, just being in the Kenai area, they banned operators, but they actually banned the only people that were operating legally because they went ahead and allowed the vendors to continue, and they were all operating illegally. I've got some concerns about them continuing just to ban operators and deny charities that ability, but allowing vendors, and it's a real strange situation here, and maybe this isn't the amendment to bring that up on, and maybe we need to look at another amendment to address that. But if they want to just make the permittees do it themselves, that's fine with me. But if they want to discriminate between vendors and operators, I think there's a problem.
I do see your point. I think we probably ought to take that up separately. I do think it's rather technical in here. So is there objection to this amendment, amendment number 8?
Me too.
Representative Lackey.
What you're saying is that a municipality can make a decision to completely ban all operations of pull tabs.
Sure. But that's that was certainly the intent originally. It's just the original.
Well,
no,
that's
really
what it's saying right here.
Well, what they can't ban all sale of pull tabs because they couldn't ban it by a permittee. But they could ban a vendor or an operator selling them for a permittee.
I think the example is Kenai. I think Kenai bans operators right now.
Yeah.
And if vendors are allowed, they might well ban vendors because they want permittees to operate on their own for whatever reasons.
And which I don't really have a problem with, Mr. Chairman. It's just that if they start discriminating between these two classes that I'd have a problem with.
Do you feel it discriminates the way it's written, Dave?
No, I think this is necessary. Let's go ahead and adopt this, and then I'm going to bring another one before the committee.
I think that amendment will be relatively simple. It'll probably be change of order to end. So.
Yeah.
Okay, is there further objection to amendment number 8?
Okay.
I am going to object to
it. It was 6. Was that right?
Oh, you don't like this amendment?
Mm-hmm. No, because I still think municipalities should be given the option. I don't know why Kenai suddenly singled out.
This gives them
well, it does. Just to re-explain it right now, the law says this is just a technical amendment. We got off on a little discussion. Right now, let me explain it real quickly, Representative. Right now you can ban, this says you can ban an operator or a vendor. We're just saying that you can ban all operators or all vendors. We're continuing allowing them that option of banning them all. So this wouldn't, I was using Kenai as an example of one where they do ban them now and they'd be able to continue banning them. Without this amendment, you might be able to argue that they only ban, can only ban one auditor or one vendor. I think he's enthusiastic.
Yeah, he's got good reflexes.
I just don't want representatives back to feel like this is something.
What you're saying is, if this passes, then what you're saying is if they want to ban everybody,
they can.
They can.
Yeah.
They can do it now.
That's a local effort.
Well,
if they can ban one now, they can ban them all.
Right.
So,
well, here's the point is that we don't have vendors in existing law. We're adding vendors, and we want to make sure they can ban vendors as well. Is that correct? Or
no.
Your pit?
No.
Oh. Darn.
Representative, close.
Was it close?
It simply deletes the singular and adds the plural, so it doesn't seem...
I wasn't speaking to this amendment, I'm speaking to the bill.
Oh.
The bill itself.
Okay.
This is just a technical amendment. The bill itself says, in the existing law, you can ban operators, now you can ban operators and vendors. Is that correct, Representative Donnelly?
Yeah, that's right. And the only reason why we put this in the existing law is because before the existing law, it was illegal to have operators. The existing law didn't authorize vendors, so we didn't specifically mention vendors because we were authorizing operators for the first time. We wanted to go ahead and give local government the option to ban them. Mm-hmm. And then they went ahead and banned operators and didn't ban vendors, which were illegal. So it was like wacky. Okay.
Okay. Representative Zweig, is it okay now?
So what you're saying is you're giving them the option to ban whoever they want.
Yep.
All of them, some of them,
yep.
One of them.
And it sounds like we'll have an amendment later to say that they have to ban all or none, but at this point that isn't the issue. Now they can ban all or none if they choose. All or some.
All or some.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay, no further objection. Amendment number 8 is adopted.
Right. Amendment number 9, Mr. Chairman, is at the request of the department. This amendment will provide that owners of a vendor location shall sign all reports and applications under penalty of unsworn falsification. This is an attempt to technically clean up the Gaming Reform Act 1988, which Representative Donnelly is well versed on, and the provisions and so that they include the vendor scenario.
What page do you want to put this
on? That's on...
It's not in the bill.
So the end, where do you want to insert it?
It would be inserted under section 095. This is just technical.
Yeah. Both were technical. I don't know why. Okay, this is a technical amendment. Is there any objection to technical amendment?
I'll move it.
Been moved. Without objection, it's adopted. Right. Well, it's now 6:30. Representative
Ivey. Yeah, just one question to the bill. Page 3 on line 2 says requirement for all deposits of all receipts in a bank. Now, this bill will touch the rural small community.
There we go.
Yeah, it will affect the entire state. And that
okay,
section.
We don't have banks in small villages, you know. Sometimes they make deposits a week at a time. Could we change it so that they're.
Well, let's we're about to end the meeting, so let's take this issue and hold it over next week. If you could talk to Ann about it, the existing law right now requires the banks, and there are plenty of nonprofits and other permittees operating in the rural areas, so they must get by somehow. Representative
Mr. Chairman, would it be possible to move this bill out of committee and leave the rest for judiciary?
No,
it wouldn't be possible.
That's too much.
They're all Dave's amendments are the ones that are left.
Dave's a member of this committee as well, and we all have real strong views on all these items. What we're going to do, I'll go to you, Representative Donnelly, after I'm trying as hard as I can on this bill. We're going to have to hold another evening session on it. If I held it under the regular weekday schedule, this bill wouldn't get out until May, at the rate we're going. So what I'm trying to do is find evening time to meet again. The next day we've got available is April 14th for regular meetings, so we're going to have to hold a special meeting on this sometime next week, probably late in the week, in another meeting trying to do the 5-7 period. But we will keep, I commit myself to you to try to get this bill out. We will continue holding special meetings. And just so you know, there's no other subject we're doing this on. We will do our best to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Donnelly.
Perhaps, Chairman, let me just move one that I'm doing at by request of the city of Kenai, that one that was handed out. It's just a technical one that would notify the cities when somebody was moving a permit as well as the department.
Sounds good. Good idea.
Please move this.
Is that amendment number 10 before us?
Still move with unanimous consent.
Okay, is there opposition to that amendment? Okay, hearing on amendment number 10.
Thank you. Read that, Ivan. It's a good one.
I did.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, point of information. Was there another hearing besides the Anchorage hearing that you held?
Bill.
Because my notes don't reflect.
This one here, too.